You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. The Chiefs were back at it on Thursday as they begin preparation for the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football. Via Zoom conference call, head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, defensive tackle Chris Jones, and offensive lineman Mitch Schwartz spoke to the media. On the first half of this podcast, you'll hear from Reid and Mahomes. We'll take a quick break, and then you'll hear from Jones and Schwartz. Right now, though, here is the Chiefs head coach.
So just as far as injuries go, Alex Okafor won't practice today with the hamstring. He is getting better, though, and doing well, actually. And then Sammy Watkins is still in the concussion protocol. It's more neck right now than the other part, and he's working through it. I mean, tough kid. So anyways, with that, you know, we look forward to playing the Ravens, great atmosphere to play in with it being Monday night. I know there are no fans, but it's two good football teams playing each other, and that should be, that's really what we're looking at there with that. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
Start with Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. You mentioned Okafor and Sammy Watkins. So how much do you anticipate Charvarius Ward returning to practice this week?
Yeah, he's going to get out there and move around, and we'll see how he does. But he'll be out there moving around a little bit. So
let's go next to Seren. Go ahead, Seren.
Coach, you mentioned no fans. I know that's one of the things Tyreek Hill said after the Charger game, that, you know, it was kind of slow to get things going. How is that? You know, your team's one that likes to have fun and motivate and seems to play to the crowd. How have you noticed, you had a few fans in Kansas City, but none in the Chargers. How much does that maybe sap some energy from you guys?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I've been doing this for a couple of years now. And I mean, you get out there and you can hear, it seems like every penny dropped there. So, every little sound is magnified. So, but when you really get into it, you're like focused in. You put yourself in a bit of a tunnel and you're looking at the clocks, whether it's a play clock or whatever, and then the field. And so, once it gets going, it's okay. It's just that initial coming out in a brand new stadium, nobody in it, that's a little different.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, I have two quick questions for you. What has it been like for you to see other coaches get fined in the league for not wearing a mask? Obviously, you've gone with the face shield. Just why do you think coaches haven't gone in your direction in terms of face shield, even though you – have not been fined by the league? And obviously from week one to week two, it went better for you.
Yeah, that was probably that week one that took care of the face shield for, you know, but listen, I don't know that. It's hard to talk with the mask because of the microphone that you're talking into. It just doesn't, and it's hard enough to hear in those anyways. And now we've got those things turned up and you just can't, it's tough. So, I mean, I understand why they come down. It's a hard thing to do. So I've actually got it where the shield, I can get the microphone up underneath it. And that's one reason I'm using it. It's easier to get my voice across to EB and the other coaches.
Because of, competing with John Harbaugh, I know you mentioned last year's game was just so enjoyable because you kind of knew the Ravens were really creating something special in their own way. From a contrasting style standpoint, just how exciting is this game for you given what occurred last year between the two teams?
Well, really, yeah, really the last three, right? So, I mean, this is the third go-round. And Harbs is a phenomenal coach, and they've got good coaches on their staff. David Culley's there, too. So, but they've got really good football coaches and really good players. And so that normally means you're going to have a good team, right? So, and they do it the right way. I mean, we look forward to the challenge is what we do. I mean, all of us in this business, that's why we're in it. And we respect them. We know they're a good football team.
Go next to Mackenzie Nelson. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
Hey, Coach, I was just wondering how these contact tracers have been working for you guys. We saw no players tested positive again this week, and it looks like the SEC is going to follow you guys and start using the same devices as they open up their season.
Yeah, Mackenzie, I tell you, I'd probably add on to Nate's thing, too, just with, we're tested every day. We have the contact tracers, and sometimes, you pull the thing down, you're thinking, hey, everybody here is doing the same thing. Because it's been so successful, and it's a tribute to the NFL and the job they've done with this. And then the players, listen, I mean, these guys, coaches, we're all in lockdown here. We're not going anywhere. We're stuck in the building, but the players are out and about, but they've really kind of curbed that and made sure that they're responsible for who they're around. And that's got to continue as we go forward. I mean, that's an important part of this, but anyways, yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah.
Let's go next to Blair Kirchhoff. Go ahead, Blair.
Hey, Andy. You may not have heard this. It's only happened in the last hour, and you got a lot of other things going on. But Alex Gordon announced his retirement today from the Royals. I'm just wondering if you were something of an Alex Gordon fan.
Yeah, big time. Big time fan of his. I used to joke Alex Smith that they look like brothers. You know, they and both of them played about as reckless as each other, too. They're both great athletes, but I'm happy for Alex. He gets another chapter in his life here started, and I know he'll enjoy that. He's a family guy, and he'll enjoy being around those people. And I'm saying family and whatever else ventures into his life after this. But what a great career! He did it the right way. Kansas City was lucky to have him, and he was lucky to have Kansas City. Yeah.
Nice to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, Pat's running was obviously a big part of the win against the Chargers, but I know that probably causes you some anxious moments. What advice do you have for him in that regard when he decides to take off?
Yeah, that's always been a part of this offense. I mean, you go back and look at the quarterbacks that have been successful in this offense, and they've all been mobile guys. I mean, Joe Montana could run, and that's kind of where it started there, and has worked its way through. You start looking at the guys, and Steve Young could run, and Donovan and Michael. And you start naming the guys that I've had or been around, that you just see that they all are mobile guys and can get out and go and when needed. You don't want to necessarily make a living on it. I mean, that's not the one unique thing I think you can point out on it, Adam, is that all the guys keep their eyes downfield. And they're all the great ones. And so they're still putting pressure back on the defense with the opportunity to potentially throw the football. So that I think that would probably be universal with all of them. Brett Favre, I forgot him too. I mean, he's another guy. And not all these guys are real fast guys, Adam, which is also kind of unique. But they just they have an ability to know when to go and when to get down and so on.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy, a lot of talk this week about Patrick's touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, but when you went back and looked at the film with the two-point conversion, what was your takeaway from that play?
It was one of those – the throw was unbelievable, right, Tyreek, and then coming back with we had a couple different options on that, McColl being maybe third or fourth in the options. The fact that McColl stayed alive in there and was able to find a spot and could even see the ball and then make the catch in that traffic was something. And for Pat to find him was something. And if you look, you'll see both Tyreek and McColl in there working, trying to find an opening. And McColl was able to find one there.
We've got time for a couple more. Let's go Pete and then Matt. Go ahead, Pete.
Coach, as a fellow offensive mind, I was wondering how impressive it has been for John and Greg Roman, and you mentioned David Culley, to be able to build around Lamar Jackson's unique talents and just make it work at this level?
Yeah, I think it's great. He's a great kid. We were lucky enough to have him up here during the one-on-ones this past year. Had a chance to talk to him. He's really a good kid, and he goes about it the right way, tremendously hard worker. And Greg Roman has done a fantastic job. David Culley's influence in there. And then Harbs knows everything about everything. So he was a special teams coach, a defensive coach, and knew everything about the offense. So it's the quarterback's in a good spot to learn. And, you know, he's lucky, like I said, he's lucky to be there, and they're lucky to have him for sure. Yeah.
Go last to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach, I know you're just a big fan of the NFL, the history of the game, and to have two quarterbacks like this, two young players, two MVPs going head-to-head early in the season, how good is a matchup like this for the game?
Oh, all these new quarterbacks that are in this league, I mean, these young kids, man, I mean, well, how great is that for the National Football League? And these two are two of the best, here you have an opportunity to watch them compete against each other. They're good friends on top of all that, and they're going to get in there and play, and their teammates are going to back them on everything. So that's it's really fun to watch them grow.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate the time today.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Hey, Pat. Andy had just mentioned how you and Lamar are friends and colleagues, obviously. Just wondering what that relationship is like, how often you guys talk, and you being a fan of the game, when you have that opportunity on a Sunday night football or Thursday night football, how much fun do you have watching him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he can make all the throws. He can run with the ball. He can really do it all. And so it's always fun to watch guys like that work hard, put in the work, and they're able to go out there and have success on the field. And then as far as our relationship talking and stuff like that, I mean, we kind of have the same endorsements with Oakley and EA Sports, and so we've seen each other through that. And then when you play this quarterback position, it's kind of like a group. I mean, it's a tight group where you shoot ideas off each other and stuff like that. So he's a great player, and I look forward to the contest this week.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Pat. I've got two things for you. The first one I wanted to ask about, you were able to draw the Chargers off sides quite a bit last week, and you've been able to do that a lot during your 3 years. I'm hoping you can answer this without giving anything away, but how much do you work on that, and how exactly do you work on that?
Yeah, we work on changing up the snap count all throughout training camp. And there's some rough days where you're getting a lot of false starts and stuff like that. But it always makes you better whenever the season comes along. And so I have the unique advantage of having a kind of a unique voice that's able to get those guys to jump offside. So I try to utilize that as much as possible.
Then I also just wanted to ask you about the two-point conversion last week. Can you take me through what you saw on that play, the one that tied the game there in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, we had a play called with a little kind of either a shovel pass or a roll out to throw to Clyde. I was a little nervous at the beginning. Right before the play, they said, watch for the shovel pass. I knew that there was a good chance that Bosa was going to be come down on that. And so before the snap, even in the huddle, when we were kind of reviewing the play, I had told McColl and Tyreek, I said, I know y'all aren't really in the read. Y'all are kind of the last reads, but make sure y'all continue to work. And so those guys did a great job. And then I thought McColl made a heck of a catch on a ball that was thrown very low and away on him, and he made a great play on it.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Not sure whether Sammy's going to play on Sunday, but if he doesn't, that bumps up one of the younger guys, either Pringle or Kemp. Just wondering how much you've thrown to those guys recently and whether you feel confident in throwing to them in a game situation if you haven't.
Yeah, I mean – obviously having that consistency of having these guys for the last few years, I've really worked with these guys a lot over these last few years. And I think a good thing that Coach Reed does during practice and Coach Lewis, Greg, I mean, he does a good job of mixing those guys in, even when that might not be their week where they're getting these play calls, they're mixing in and giving those guys rest, but also making sure that they're ready to go. And so that's the good thing about having depth at that position is we hope that we have Sammy back. And I mean, everything hopefully is trending the right way, but at the same time, it's good to have guys that you can trust to be in there and do what they can to try to replace what he gives us.
Let's go next to Mackenzie Nelson. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
Hey, Patrick, I was just wondering, last week you said you didn't really come out the way you wanted to against the Chargers. Is there anything that you're doing this week or working on this week to better prepare and come out the way you want to in Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's going to be all about execution. When you play a defense like this that does a lot of different things, very multiple, do a lot of different blitzes, a lot of different coverages, you have to make sure that you're ready to go and have answers for everything. And so I'll just try to do whatever I can to make sure I'm prepared for everything they can show us. And whenever they give us an unscouted look, try to have a positive play and then get to the sideline and figure out the best way to go about it for the rest of the game.
Let's go next to Blair Kirkhoff. Go ahead, Blair.
Hey, Patrick, just wanted to get you to put on your Royals cap for a moment and have a thought on Alex Gordon, who announced his retirement today. Do you know Alex?
Yeah. I mean, he's done everything the right way his entire career. I mean, the amount of gold gloves that he's won, seeing him dive around the outfield growing up, I don't want to make him sound old, but growing up and then throwing people out at the plate and doing everything like that. And then being able to hit and just being a leader on and off the field. I mean, he's someone that set the example of how to be in the Kansas City community and lead his team to championships and do it the right way on and off the field.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Patrick, I'm 99% sure I've got this right, but kind of two-part question. One, how does it feel for the first time on one of these Zooms to not be the best athlete on the Zoom? If I'm not mistaken, the guy I see down at the bottom was one hell of a runner. And that was my question about running quarterback style. Coach Reed was talking about, you know, the run being a part of, you know, what quarterbacks do in this offense. How much of that is like a design? Like, is there like a, for lack of a better term, an escape hatch, that there are some plays that routes are designed, one, to get you the ball down the field, but if they're not there to create those openings like you had on the big 20-yard scramble?
Yeah, I think the good thing about having the guys that I have on my team, the receivers, running backs, tight ends that we have, is that defenses have to be accountable for those guys. And so they're getting depth. They're trying to stop those guys from beating them over the top. And whenever there's room to run, I have to be able to take advantage of it. And it's kind of been the last 3 years of – I usually when I scramble, I'm looking downfield to throw. So you're seeing defenses now, they're not leaving their guy. They're kind of just staying on them and letting me run. And I don't know if I can run like Mike, but I can run a little bit, enough just to get the first down and get out of bounds.
Got time for a couple more guys. Let's go Todd Lebo and then Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Patrick, on the snap count stuff that Sam was asking about before, is it easier now as you've watched this go through, playing in front of no fans on the road? Are these things that you maybe wouldn't have been able to do on the road? And what would you compare the noise level to? I know what we heard on TV, but what would you actually compare the noise level to that you experienced in Los Angeles to any other thing that you've done during a real game?
First part of the snap count, I mean, obviously you get to use verbal snap count on the road, and especially when you're playing places like Baltimore, you're not going to be able to use that because of the crowd, and especially Monday night. So that definitely is an advantage. Only thing that's kind of a disadvantage, you have to change a lot of your code words on a lot of your audibles because everybody can kind of hear you on the TV copy and everything like that. And then you said the second part one more time, second part of your question.
What would you compare it to? I mean, like, how loud was it? They say it's 70 decibels. What's that sound like compared to anything else? Is it louder at practice when you guys pump the music and crowd noise in, or what's it even compared to?
It's like practicing in the locker room with no one else in there. There's literally no noise, and it is different. It's not like practice, because practice you at least get music playing that kind of gives you something. So it's all about feeding off your own energy, and we didn't do a good job of that last week, but we can't start off like that against this team if we want to come out with a win on the end.
Go to Harold for the last one. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Patrick. Much has been said about the competition between all the young quarterbacks in this league, especially you had one with Deshaun Watson in week one, but now with Lamar. Lamar hasn't won one against you yet. I'm sure they're going to be very determined, but what would you say about it? This is kind of a, if you will, a rivalry that you guys are going to be competing against for a long time.
Yeah, I think you heard Coach Reed kind of say it a little bit before me. I mean, there's a lot of young, great quarterbacks in this league, which is awesome because, you know, every single week you're going to get a great challenge and a great matchup. And so it's a little different because when you're on offense, you're never going to go face-to-face. You never get to go straight up against Lamar, but you know that he's going to go out there and put up points. And so you just have to trust in your defense that they're going to make stops when they're needed. They're going to find ways to do whatever they can to stop all the great stuff that he does. And then as an offense, you know that you're facing a great defense. And so you're going to have to find ways to put up points on the board. And if you want to get the win.
Patrick, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again, and I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You just heard from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and now we continue on from the podium with defensive tackle Chris Jones.
Chris, with playing these games without fans, how difficult was it for you as a guy who usually gets really fired up by the crowd to be able to feed off of that? And was there anything that you and your defensive teammates really kind of did to maybe try and fire each other up during that game?
It was a little uncomfortable to start it off, not seeing any fans in there, and you're hearing them pump up the crowd throughout the theater. And it was tough. It was tough from the beginning, and we kind of got used to it. We fed off of each other as teammates. That's what kind of got us through the game, especially how humid it was in there, and having no fans played at all.
Let's go next to Harold Koontz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Chris. I just want to get your thoughts on a lot of NBA players have commented on yesterday, but Breonna Taylor and, you know, just your overall thoughts on what went down in Kentucky. And then also on the field question, you know, you're chasing around Lamar Jackson. How's that experience going to be?
The experience is going to be great. It's always great when you have a well-put football team coming in. It gives your team a challenge. And for us as a defense, we look at it as a huge challenge to not only stop that offense, but stop Lamar, who is a pivotal part of that offense. He's the league MVP. He showed what he can do with his legs and also showed what he can do with his arms. And he's been unbelievable to this point. So it's going to be a test for us on defense. And, you know, we look forward to it. But overall, from the Breonna Taylor aspect, I'm praying for her family and her loved ones out there. You know, it's tough. You know, when you look at things like that, you expect consequences and from a different aspect of it. And that's why we harp and preaching on voting. Your vote matters or your vote counts, not only on the overall election, but on the legislative election also. You got to partake in those and start within us as individuals to make that change and make sure not only you go to vote, but you go back and bring somebody else with you, because that's how these things change. And just prayers to our family.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Chris, appreciate what you just said. In terms of not having any preseason games and obviously an unusual training camp, you guys kind of had the both sides of tackling really well first week against the Houston Texans and having issues tackling last week against the Chargers. I just wonder, what did you guys see that was sort of the issue last week, and just how different is it to not have any tackling before the regular season starts?
I don't think it was too much of a difference for us. Coach Reed actually done an unbelievable job within training camp to try to make everything normal. With us as a defense, we got to keep on harping on that. We just got to get better tackling. I feel like if we correct that, we can definitely be a top five defense in this league. We missed a lot of tackles last week, and that's our main focus point going into this week. Make sure we tackle, wrap up, and finish plays.
We're next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Chris, I'm curious just to follow up your comments about Breonna Taylor. Has this been difficult? I mean, it's difficult time, right, for the entire country. But has it been difficult for you to be able to, and maybe your teammates, focus either on football with all of this going on around, or maybe the other way, that because football is so all-consuming and does take so much of your time, have you found that you're left maybe wanting to not be able to be more involved and do more with some of the protests and movements that are going on?
What the organization of the Chiefs have done, they have been freeling and opening to whatever the players want to do. And then Clark Hunt has played a major role in it, him and the president. So I'm thankful for that. And within the team, everyone is accepting to each individual ideas. And that's the beauty of this team. You know, Andy Reid and the staff have gave us complete freeness to voice amongst our opinions. And they've accepted that, they listen, and they've tried to help us in whichever direction we would like to go. So within that, you know, my brothers have supported whoever throughout the locker room on whatever decision and output they have. And, you know, we try to listen and see what better ways we can help the situation.
Got time for a couple more guys. Let's go Breland and then Herbie. Go ahead, Breland.
Hey, Chris, just kind of build off of that. You know, obviously we hear this concept of sports and the backlash that comes when you use your platform, but how important is it for you guys as a whole, you know, especially with the support of everybody in the Chiefs organization, how important is it to you to use your platform for these types of issues?
It's pivotal. It's pivotal, especially what's transpiring right now, dealing with COVID and dealing with the issues at hand of brutality from the police. And it can shift the movement, especially with athletes who has the platform to broadcast their opinions and their feelings and their ideas. That can only help. And, you know, you do it in a positive light and do it in a positive way, you get support. And that's what this is all about, getting support, getting people to understand what's partaking and creating a shift of movement while with their support and creating change. That's most importantly.
Let's finish it out with Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Chris, I wanted to echo Nate's comment there. Thank you for sharing your thoughts there. Very eloquent on everything that's going on in the world. But as a follow-up to Nate's question on the football side of the house, you mentioned tackling. But I'm curious because through the first 2 weeks of the NFL, we're seeing historic scoring, historic touchdowns at a record pace. How much do you think the lack of tackling or even the lack of OTAs, a modified training camp, has affected how these offenses are able to score like this?
I can't really say because every training camp and every team is ran different. I know for us as the Chiefs, Coach Reed done an unbelievable job to make it as normal as possible. It felt normal to us. Did anything change other than the fact that we didn't have any preseason games? But everything else was pretty normal. And, you know, I don't know what other organizations are doing or how they handle training camp, but for us, it was pretty normal. So nothing really changed for our end.
Chris, we appreciate the time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. Y'all take care.
You too.
Hey, Mitch, I was curious, now that you've been through 2 weeks of the NFL season, how much more difficult has it been to adjust to that trench warfare, not having had the preseason games or a little bit more physical training camp with your teammates?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty normal. I mean, I'd say we had a pretty full training camp. You know, I think if you ask the guys, they wouldn't say that they felt we didn't hit much or that we didn't, you know, have a full kind of normal padded practice schedule. So I mean, nothing's the same until you play it in a live game. You know, you try to replicate that as much as you can in practice, but things kind of evolve throughout the year anyway. So you know, I'd say it has been pretty normal from that perspective. I don't think well, I mean, if you look at the NFL, I think a lot of people figured when we came into the year, everything was going to look sloppy and the play would look poor and stuff. And I haven't really seen anything like that in the first couple of weeks. So I think people are pretty happy with, you know, how crisp and everything the games have looked. And that's a testament to, you know, working hard.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Mitchell. J.J. Watt, week one. Joey Bosa, week two. The Ravens have multiple guys. Even Calais Campbell has now joined them. Just what have you seen early from the Ravens and what makes their defensive line so dominant?
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys, like you said. I mean, Judon's been there for a while. He's an awesome player, you know, to bring in Calais, to bring in Derek Wolf. They got some of the younger guys. I mean, Bowser's been playing really well. They still have McPhee there. It seems like he's been there for forever, and he's still playing awesome football. So you got a lot of guys, and, you know, they tend to like to blitz a lot too. So you end up, you know, one-on-one a lot. So they can just kind of roll those guys through. Everyone's a little bit different. They're all good players. you know, and they do a really good job with it. So knowing, you know, who you're going against, it's not quite as, you know, cookie cutter as some weeks where, oh, I'm going to see this guy, you know, 85% of the snaps. I mean, you're going to get a rotation of them. But, yeah, I mean, they're able to roll through. I mean, the front seven seems like it's 12 or 13 deep with pretty much all awesome players.
Next to Darren Smith. Go ahead, Darren.
Your thoughts on obviously the big news that came out last night, officers not being charged in the murder of Breonna Taylor. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, as well as, of course, with Patrick and Tyron doing this voting registration. Is it even now more important for people who are registered to vote to know exactly who they're voting for and why they're voting for who they're voting for? And then, you know, also, do you believe in that Black Lives Matter? I mean, I know we asked Patrick, we asked Chris, we asked Tyron, but we haven't really had a chance to ask, you know, some of the white players that are on the Chiefs teams about this. I want to get your thoughts on those, please.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Black Lives Matter is probably the most important thing going on in our society right now. That, you know, ties into the election, like you were talking about in terms of voting. You know, Pat, Tyron, they've done an awesome job with that. You know, Tyron's whole thing is trying to take kind of the stigma off it, make it cool, make people, you know, look forward to doing it. And I think, you know, situations like last night, you're realizing, you know, how much power that we need to have as citizens, and how do we utilize that? I mean, for the most part, it's voting. Like you said, it's putting in people that you want in those, you know, elected leader spots to make sure that, you know, society is running the way it should be. And I think, you know, a lot of people are realizing that now, and I'm hopeful for, you know, as big of a turnout as we can get on the third.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz.
Hey, Mitch, Tyreek Hill mentioned that that was the strangest experience he had been in the stadium when they played in an empty stadium. Do you kind of agree with that assessment? And now going into Baltimore again, and, you know, throughout the season, you're going to have that except for home games. How are you guys trying to pull up your energy value as you enter games?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the first few plays were a little bit weird, and then you kind of just get used to it. I mean, you know, when you're lining up against Bosa and Ingram and they're a couple feet away from you, you're not really focused too much on anything else around you. So for me, I didn't realize it too much in, you know, the play-to-play aspect of it. You know, you realize that when you're sitting on the bench and, you know, the defense does something big or someone scores a touchdown and it's pretty much silent, that's when you really, you know, take note of it. So I think it'll just become more normal to guys who are, you know, feeling like there's a dip in energy or anything. Obviously, the more you do something, the more normal it gets. And, you know, lucky enough to get the victory.
Go to Sarin for the last one. Go ahead, Sarin.
Mitch, I'm curious. You talked about how, you know, the camp was pretty much normal, right? You just didn't have the preseason games and that, you know, the games have been pretty sharp. There also haven't been any holding penalties, right? I mean, not any, but a low number. People thought there'd be a lot. It was a very low number the first week. As you sit back and look at it on film, do you think, you know, maybe there was the league is maybe trying to help some guys out, saying, hey, we don't want to – we know maybe guys aren't as sharp, and so maybe they've been a little more lenient? Or do you think that maybe, you know, no preseason games actually makes for sharper football?
Well, I'd say our game reversed the trend a little bit last week. We had a few holding calls, so, you know, we did our best to rectify the situation. But, you know, I think in general it seemed like last year, you know, they went towards – kind of flagging things that if you saw a tug or you saw anything of that nature, you know, it's kind of an immediate flag, which had been a little bit different from the past. The past, you know, if you were moving your feet, that was kind of the most important part of it. You know, you can get in compromised situations with your hands, with your leverage, but for the most part, if your feet are moving, you're not really restricting the guy to the point of it being a flag. It seemed like that's kind of the stuff they've cut down on this year, at least from what I've seen. You know, obviously it's an offensive lineman. I'd love to have as few holding calls as possible. I don't know that it was, you know, a conscious thing to say, oh, the games might be sloppy if we overpenalize. You know, I wouldn't go that far. But I think it was Walt Anderson said, you know, they were kind of focusing on the clear and concise and the obvious stuff. And so, you know, for the most part, the way my understanding of, you know, holding has always been, obviously, if he's away from your body and you're kind of tugging him and preventing him from going in a direction, that's going to be flagged every time. If he's within your frame and you're moving your feet with him, you know, for the most part, that's not a true restriction of movement. So, you know, that's seeming to be not called quite as much and is more in line with kind of my general understanding of, you know, what the infraction should be.
Mitchell, we appreciate the time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.